The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ivan in for Pat. It's a pleasure to welcome back regular person on the show, Ger Herbert, of course, motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Good to see you again, Ger. And we're going to analyse the half-year figures released by the SIMI, the Society for the Irish Motor Industry, in relation to new car sales and registrations. And the headline issue is electric vehicles down by a quarter. What's happening?
Yeah, so I mean, it's always interesting, Ivan, because the first half of the year really sets the tone for the rest of the year. I mean, even though we have the split registration in now, is it since 2013, people still buy the predominantly the sales are the first half of the year. So essentially, the market is up slightly. It's up about 2% on last year. It's still down 7% on 2019. That's where the car industry would like to be back to, at least. But yeah.
It's down what in 2019?
About 7%.
Significant.
Yeah, it's still, you know, they're still trying to
because
get back.
Because we heard so much that people saved money over COVID and, you know, there's 158 billion of savings out there, household savings and other savings. You'd think they'd be changing their car.
Yeah, but I think the thing was you had savings and then you had the cost of living crisis and the two have played off each other and people are a bit wary about spending money. And I'd say you'd see that across the board.
And it's a big ticket item. Spend. It's not like buying an ice cream.
Absolutely.
Okay, so give me the stats.
Yeah, so electric car sales are down 25% in the first half of the year. So essentially we sold, I think it was 10,700. There's about 14,000 sold last year. But in terms of actually market share, I think that's probably the most worrying. So it's only making up 13.6% of the new cars sold now are all electric. This time last year, that figure was about 18.5%. So, I mean, like, basically what we've seen is sort of, you know, doubling of market share over the past number of years. I suppose there was an expectation it would do it again. It hasn't. They seem to have hit a wall in that sense, electric car sales.
In the industry, my understanding is they call it something about a gap between the kind of early adopters, people who are into the environment, into new tech, and then the mainstream. And that this happened with mobile phones and people aren't panicking with it. So what do you attribute this drop to?
Yeah, there's a number of things. There is that whole early adopter. That's where the surge in sales came from at the beginning. The mainstream buyer doesn't want the inconvenience of having to charge. They want to cross the country with the same convenience that they can do in petrol and diesel. That can't be replicated unless the public charging infrastructure is there. It's not in places. It's very patchy. That's a big issue. There's a lot of concern around the infrastructure that probably is unwarranted, but it's not there enough to convince would-be buyers. There's also the issue of trade-in values. There's been a lot of volatility around new car prices. Tesla cut their prices, other manufacturers responded. Then we had competition from China. All of this has reduced new car prices. Now, when you bring down new car prices, you bring down the value of second-hand cars. As a result, trade-in values are quite low at the moment on EVs. People are reluctant. There's some dealers reluctant to take them. All you need here is one bad story like that, Ivan, and you think, do you know what? I'm not going EV this year.
Well, a couple of things on the trade-in value. First of all, Jim Power and Arup did a major report for the SIMI about 2 years ago, and they said it was vital if we were to get sort of wider use of it to have a second-hand market. So people who couldn't afford a new car, that was the way to go. It seems to be the opposite effect. And I've two texts here in relation to the trade-in value. Sean from Westport says, electric cars are much, much too expensive. What are they worth after 8 years? Next to nothing. They are a status symbol for rich people. And Eamon in Kilkenny says, would you buy a car with no trade-in value with the prospect of having it written off if you had a fender bender? These are the kind of problems being encountered by EV owners who are saying, no, it's not worth the risk. Is this myth or truth?
It's a combination of both. One is fueling the other. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at this stage, because the problem is if there's an issue with trade-in values, and there has been because of the new car prices being reduced quite drastically and the volatility that's there, right? If people, as I said, have a bad experience, they tell somebody else. We then have a lot of myths and misinformation about batteries. You know, it's very rare to replace a battery. It really is. And people don't realise that. The AA did a survey and they discovered, you know, there's huge issues around what people understand about the lifetime of the batteries.
Well, what is the lifetime of a battery?
Well, I mean, there's no reason. The new batteries, in terms of they have battery management systems, they are made in a modular format. So if anything goes wrong, you can replace components of them. They're now saying they should last the lifetime of a car.
160, 150,000.
They're guaranteed to 160,000 kilometres and 8 years for most. Some car manufacturers give warranties up to 10 years. The other thing to remember, though, if you're buying a second-hand one, you don't have to buy it blind. You can actually get a battery check, which will give you a complete state of health of every cell in that battery, how long it's left. And I don't think people realise that. So they're not rocking up to a dealership, buying a car and thinking, Jesus, I hope it lasts till, like, you know, till Christmas. Okay. You can do that, but people don't know this.
So where is this all in relation to the government's plan by 2030 to have something like 846,000 EVs? Is that in tatters? Because ZEVI and was in place, you know, gave a grant of $5,000 for cars, and that was cut. Are they going to look at all that area again?
Well, the government have said the reason they cut the grants is to put it into the charging infrastructure. The problem with that is they haven't communicated that message effectively, and the charging infrastructure still needs investment. So that's an issue at the moment. In terms of the government plans, they decided they were going to ban, if you cast your mind back to 2030 or to 2020, they were going to ban petrol and diesel, new petrol and diesel cars by 2030. As a result, they believed that there was going to be this huge surge of sales towards the end of the year, or towards the end of the decade. The plan was for 845,000 electric cars. Basically, 60% of all carbon emissions overall reduction is coming from transport. The heavy lifting is being done by electric cars. If they don't sell those cars, they're in trouble. And the problem is, at this stage, nearly every car sold from next year to the end of the decade would have to be electric, which is not going to happen at 13% market share.
And the thing I notice with Greens is I think they're kind of ditching the EV thing. They're going for road space allocation, active transport, public transport. Now, the Greens may not be in government, but I notice that the whole carrot of an EV is being replaced with the stick of road space allocation, which in Dublin, place like that, is quite unpopular. One of the things that I was just wondering about, you would know, is cheap import Chinese. This has happened with solar panels, where there's a glut of overproduction, and they might get these BYD cars and dump them on the market at a fraction of the cost. Do you think that'll happen?
Well, you see, I mean, the EU have said they're going to impose tariffs on Chinese cars, but there's a lot of room for manoeuvre with Chinese prices at the moment. I don't think the tariffs are going to make that much difference. Now, it hasn't been confirmed. They're now in talks. That hasn't been definitely agreed on. The problem with putting tariffs on Chinese cars is it could backfire on European car manufacturers. A lot of European car manufacturers like BMW, Mercedes actually build cars in China. So suddenly then, if you're going to start imposing taxes on cars coming from China, you're going to start taxing your own cars. I think at the moment that the EU are in a kind of a rock and a hard place. If they want this transition towards electric cars, they have to be grateful of anything that comes in, particularly, you know, well-built Chinese ones that are affordable, because European manufacturers are not matching that. But they also have this protectionism, obviously, towards their own European car industry. Germany and France is obviously heavily dependent on cars. So I think they have an issue there of trying to keep both happy.
Okay. As well as consumer cars, there's fleet management, company cars, rental cars, and there's commercial vans. What's happening there?
Yeah, actually, commercial vehicles are starting from a very low point in terms of EVs, but they're up this year. So that's good. But I mean, really what the government should be looking at is the fleet car market. Obviously, they spend longer on the road than anybody else. They filter cars then into the second-hand market. So I think they should be spending more money on encouraging fleets to convert, because it's a big cost for them at the moment, particularly with trade-in values the way they are at the moment.
We've had a huge text response to this, 53106. Anna says, of course the EV numbers are down. The cost to repair cells on the batteries is all coming to light. One cell to be repaired is $5,000. Be environmentally friendly and keep driving what you have. Sean says, I'm self-employed and I use my diesel car for travelling to various locations around the country. Because it's diesel, I get a few bob back in VAT. If I change over to a petrol hybrid, I lose the VAT. No incentive for people like me. Someone else says we need a scrappage scheme for second-hand EVs. The only people I don't hear giving about EVs are the people who own them. My father, a diesel head, who said he'd never do it, bought an EV and swears by it. Speaking of swear by, nearly all taxis now are EVs. And I find myself in taxis and I ask them about it. And they say they charge it up at night. Their electric bill is a fiver a week. They actually love it.
Yeah, they were a really good market to incentivise, because, again, they spend so much time on the road. Plus, taxi drivers are great for telling you about things. So they're great to publicise it. There's some great incentives for them to go EV. But I mean, if they can manage it, that proves it. But again, it's the charging network. It's convincing people. Most people in Ireland don't do huge amounts of journeys. There are very long ranges on electric cars. There's this misperception that they're more expensive. But, you know, I mean, people, it's just a lack of education.
So in your expert opinion then, is this a blip? And that EV sales will resume, or are we now looking at a long-term, medium-term trend?
I think there's a lack of buyer confidence, which the car industry and the government has to tackle. I think for the rest of the year, we're not going to see any great inroads in electric car sales. I think they will recover next year because there's tighter emission regulations coming in for car companies. They'll have no option but to produce more EVs. But at the moment, I think things are going to stay stagnant till the end of the year.
Okay. No respite for the end of the year if you're trying to sell an EV. Ger Herbert, motoring editor and columnist for the Sunday Independent. I'm going to leave the last word on this topic with Peter in Thurles. He said, if I got left an EV in a will, I'd contest the will.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.